Rejecting tyranny and socialism isn't racism or hatred. It's your duty as an American, from New Hampshire to around the world. It's your host, Keith Hansen.
Listening to the Keith Hansen Show. It is great to be with you. My name is Karen Cataline, and I'm delighted to fill in once again for Keith. The show's powered by the Hagman Report and airing on the Global Star Radio Network. So I'm a commentator, columnist, and, well, you know, all-around rabble-rouser. Nowadays, being a rabble-rouser, gosh, I don't know. There is so much going on. I say that all the time, but there is. Before I get to ranting about it, though, it is Thursday, May 28th, 2020. This is Keith's show number 720. Can you believe it? 720. The Keith Hansen Show can be heard every weeknight from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Global Star Radio Network and its affiliates. And Keith wants me to let you know that you can visit him at KeithHansenShow.com or the Hagman Report, that's with two N's, live.com to listen to the show or stream it on demand. You can also check out the YouTube archive of the program as well. Just simply perform a YouTube search for the Keith Hansen Show, or you can download the program as a podcast through your favorite podcast app like, iTunes, Spreaker, and a whole bunch more. And you can email Keith at keithontheair@gmail.com. That's keithontheair@gmail.com. That's how I get a hold of him, too. Good, bad, indifferent. He's happy to hear from you. Twitter and Twitter alternative known as Parlor, and that's spelled P-A-R-L-O-R, because when you spell it another way, I think, you get like an X-rated site. I've tried. My handle, his handle, on both platforms is Real Keith Hansen, at Real Keith Hansen. I'll give you all my particulars because I like hearing from you too, but those are Keith's. And gosh. So we have had the pivot of the century. How many people were watching the media switch gears from coronavirus to riots in less than 3 days? From the time it took to get done with the Memorial Day holiday, it's as if they turned on a switch. What is it? Is it that they expect the public to have short-term memory loss? No consistency, no thought-provoking questions at all? I don't think so. I predicted the run-up. You may not have heard me on this show, but I've been predicting the run-up for a while. I saw it. I watched it. And here we are again with all the same arguments. We have institutional racism in the United States of America. I'm not black. I'm Jewish. I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. And I'm not buying it. This collective broad brush pronouncements that the left and the socialists make is for political agendas and political agendas alone. Now, we can talk about the case if you want to. I have a spectacular guest, though, about the media. At the bottom half of the hour, Brian Maloney from Media Research Center. Oh, he's perfect to talk to about this kind of stuff because, well, we're being manipulated. I know. It sounds ridiculous, right? No, I think you're watching it too. Now, when you switch so quickly, and they've been trying. I mean, they went from, I wrote this down. So let's see. Now we have riots springing up all over the country. And I'll tell you, I'll try to back this up so you don't think that I've lost my frickin' mind. Before that, We had a white woman calling the police on a black man in Central Park. We had racializing the coronavirus, which didn't work. This all happened in the last several days. Ahmaud Arbery's story, the Georgia jogger, chased by two white men. And there's always a story to every single one, but people don't wait for the story. They never wait for the story because they're waiting with off-the-shelf comments. I'm not even going to repeat what Maxine Waters said recently, because you can always count on her for the most hateful, despicable, race-baiting comments imaginable. We don't look at cases as individual anymore. And that is going to be part of my theme here. Oh, and then we had Biden's comments that you're not black if you don't vote for him. And of course, the media papered over that one. It just is so predictable at this point. And the question is how, why, and what are we going to do about it? So we spent 3 months on coronavirus all the time. Coronavirus, coronavirus, coronavirus. And as soon as there was finally, and it took sadly more than 3 months to start having pushback, in which, by the way, people pushing back on their having their rights completely infringed upon. Forgive me, I'm speechless. It's not good for a talk show host to be speechless. People talking about having governors, leftist governors, and I will talk about this in a minute, infringing upon their rights to free assembly, their rights to practice religion, their rights to make a living, their rights to go to work. People, law-abiding citizens of every color, race, and creed, being demonized because they want to be responsible and go to work. Meanwhile, if you want to riot in the streets for a case that you probably don't know all the facts about, that's okay. And by the way, was anybody social distancing? Was anybody wearing a mask while they were rioting? Did the leftist police who want to put people in jail for wearing masks, were they commenting on the riots? No. The rioters are now victims because of the color of their skin. And now the entire country makes a giant pivot, and we are expected to just forget about coronavirus because, after all, they were starting to lose on that one. It took them a while, but they were starting to lose on that one. Now, isn't it painful, just doggone painful, that the moment people start opening up their businesses to be able to make a living and fight bankruptcy in leftist places, cities that are completely run by leftist bureaucrats, unelected and elected, the minute they open their businesses, and of course we saw Target store looted, they are now under attack by protesters who then are going to force them, we hope not, to force their to close their businesses once again. What the heck is going on? Well, I'm going to pivot a little bit just to back it up a little bit and make this slightly personal. I'm working on a piece right now. I'll give you the title because I don't know if it's going to be a blog or an op-ed. But it's about why socialists are so threatened by individuality. And yes, I do have a point to all this, and it will come around to what we're talking about because I have an extended amount of time to chat with you in the show, although we will have our guest at the bottom of the hour. And that is, it's called The Same Shade of Gray. It's not black or white. It's gray. My dear husband and I, celebrated our 1 year anniversary. We've been together 8 years, but we celebrated our 1 year marriage anniversary. We were going to go to Israel, and instead we ended up going to South Dakota. It was every bit as wonderful. I mean, it's a totally different kind of trip. But in South Dakota, people love their governor because their governor supports and believes in freedom. And it almost felt normal. in South Dakota. We got to see Crazy Horse, the memorial, and I hadn't seen him since only his eye was visible. Now you can see his whole face, and it is a massive sight. We were not able to see it any closer than about a mile and a half, but you could see it quite well. And then we went to wonderful little Main Street areas like historical Deadwood and Hill City in South Dakota. You know, and these little places, there are, I was struck as we were driving home, because we're only about 5.5 hours or so from South Dakota. We're in northern Colorado. And as I thought about what we experienced, it was a 2.5 day trip. That's all we could get away for. I was struck by the individuality of every little store there. Every store you walked in into had a personality like the person who owned it. Special mementos, souvenirs, you could buy rhubarb wine, you could buy t-shirts, and of course the usual trinkets and souvenirs, or you could buy homemade chocolate and homemade everything. Everything was so individual. And it occurred to me, socialism is the enemy of individualism. And we know that because socialism is constantly collectivizing everything. Remember in the 60s when liberals were always, even past the 60s, 70s and 80s, were talking about racial stereotyping and just stereotyping in general. And yet, what have they done? They've done a complete 180 on everything, including questioning authority. They are not doing that anymore. They're doing exactly as they're told, as long as the people that tell them what to do are Democrats. They're dutifully wearing masks because their Democrat betters tell them to. So that's changed. And of course, they don't remember history anymore. So it, you know, that's ancient history, the 60s. There's been a complete 180 all the way around. So what used to be don't conform, which was kind of funny when I was a kid. I mean, I was prepubescent in the 60s, in liberal 60s, right? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, when people were touting the joys of being an individual, of not caring what people think, of bucking the system, of talking to the man, of questioning authority, and of doing your own thing. Remember when you got to do your own thing? Well, guess what? In socialist 60s, socialist leftist America, you don't do your own thing. You march to the same drummer, collectivism, and you think and act and behave alike. What does the left want us to believe and think and behave? Well, if you're white, you're bad and racist. If you're black, you're a victim. There's a whole host of things that socialists encourage. And of course, we have people that have finally come out of the closet as socialists, not just AOC, but a whole bunch more people whose actions indicate that they are in lockstep with the socialist left of the Democrat Party, and that's who runs the Democrat Party today. Let's face it, and I'm trying to say a lot in a short amount of time, Democrat governors are behaving completely different than Republican governors. They rush to close cities and states, complete states, regardless of how different their state is. No, we got to shut it all down. If you're rural and you haven't seen another human being and you're a rancher, you got to be shut down more so, it turned out, than in big cities where people live virtually on top of each other, like New York City. What do socialists encourage? They encourage sloth. You know, be dependent on the government. Don't work. Stay home. You're safer if you stay home. Never mind the fact that facts told us that sunshine, fresh air, kills the virus. But no, you're safer at home. There are still governors, like the one in Colorado, who is staying to that narrative regardless. They explain away and even encourage drug use. Now, I'm very libertarian thinking. If you want to trash your body with drugs, you know, I'm not going to make that the top priority. But no, the left has done much more than that. They make, quote, safe injection sites. Remember the old opium dens in China? Well, if you're drugged out, if you're high on pot or something worse like heroin or meth, you're going to be less likely to be protesting that your rights are under attack in this country. So drug use is good. They let all the criminals out of jail. Some of them are rioting in Minneapolis and other places. There's a complete lack of accountability. Complete lack of accountability. If you are a favored group in the eyes of socialists and leftists and frankly communists, then you're not held accountable for anything you do. I heard on Fox News this morning the leftist pundits saying, well, we want to be careful not to say that this story about George, I've got to say his name because, you know, he's being used here, George Floyd. The George Floyd story is not about rioting in the streets and people stealing TVs and looting Target stores. No, it's about the racial injustice and inequity. That's what we have to keep talking about. Well, isn't it interesting that if they're not holding people accountable, no matter what color they are, that is in itself racist, because that means you don't think they can behave any better than that. I never was much of a fan of George W. Bush, but I did like the phrase, the soft bigotry of low expectations. Well, that is soft bigotry. And furthermore, if you do not hold people accountable for their actions, guess what? They can't be free. It took me a while to figure this out. But you can't have freedom if you're not accountable and there are not consequences for your actions. Because if people explain away your behavior, then guess what? You're a slave to them. Think about it. I've been thinking about it. Okay, this is serious stuff here. It really is. So collectivism, everybody is just a number. They seem to thrive on chaos. There is a pronounced atheism and hatred for religion and religiosity, people of faith, because they're a threat. All the things that they discourage are threats to socialism and communism, and you see the pattern again and again and again. Well, it's true that Christians like to try to spread their theology. In 2020, they're not holding a gun to anybody's head. And yet, the left wants to shut down religion by force. They're doing it under the guise of coronavirus right now. There are lawsuits all over this country fighting back against this kind of religious persecution. Why is religion so often persecuted when you have an attack on a free country like the United States of America from communists and socialists who want to impose socialism on a country? And I'm saying it flat out. It is. I mean, you can disagree with me, and I'll give you a place for you to contact me, because I would love to hear from you. But the victimization and deciding about the behavior of people based on things they have no control over, like the color of their skin, and yet you can push a button and all of a sudden the paid protesters come out, the paid rioters come out, the entire leftist media conglomeration starts reporting the same thing in lockstep. And that's where I came in to this discussion, which was the lockstep media, which is inciting hatred and chaos and everything else. Let me continue with the socialists and what they encourage. They encourage intellectual laziness, the lack of intellectual curiosity. You're not allowed to ask questions. They encourage groupthink and social deviance when it suits their purpose. They definitely encourage dependence on government. It seems like whatever they can do to make you dependent on government, to make us all the same, to redistribute wealth, which is a very big one, to break the system and make everybody dependent on government seems to be where all of these things usually lead. Why does imposing attacks of the country as racist, racist, racist? Well, because it continues to fit the agenda. And for a while, I didn't really like making all these connections. But if you scratch the surface of Black Lives Matter, that seems to have been activated almost as if on command. I don't know how many reporters have been able to really prove, but it has. There have been reports. I've been so busy, I couldn't pull up an article about the paid protesters of Black Lives Matter, paid for by George Soros and other active activist socialists slash communists. If you scratch the surface of Black Lives Matter, what they're really fighting is capitalism and the free market. Most of them are card-carrying communists. So now you begin to see that it seems like every news story, especially when it's media-driven this way, is connected to the same agenda. So getting to the individuality point that I wanted to talk about, it seems that people who are actively trying to impose socialism on this country, which is what coronavirus has become. I never ever said that it wasn't a real virus, because it is, but it has the same exact vulnerable population as the flu, and the same leftists didn't care a whit about that vulnerable population. In fact, one can prove that they haven't given a damn about those people that are in that vulnerable population because they allow them to die alone for a virus that is 99.8% survivable in most people. That's a disgrace. I will continue to say that it is a disgrace. It is a disgrace. And let's see. Andrew Cuomo actually sent infected people into the most vulnerable populations in New York into nursing homes and infected entire nursing homes. And has he been held accountable? No. So we continue to see these incongruities. And what I'm particularly interested in and what we are going to talk about with our next guest coming up, Brian Maloney, is his ability to back this up with facts. Brian Maloney is someone who heads up an organization called Media Equalizer, and it's also called the Media Equality Project. And it continues to fascinate me how the media is able to drive the narrative. Now, the reason I haven't talked about the circumstances of each of these cases is, number one, we don't know all the circumstances of each case. And being the champion of individuality I have always been and what drives my politics, I want to know the circumstances of the case because I'm not going to just decide that someone is guilty because they're white and they're a victim if they're black. I don't think it should matter that much. But of course, that doesn't fit the leftist narrative. So it's very important not to get caught up in all this till you have the facts, and then you can talk specifically about specific cases. Do I think that it is atrocious for a cop to put his knee down on the neck of a perpetrator? I watch all kinds of cop shows, and I think from the looks now, and information may come later, but from the looks now, they should have been fired. Now, am I open to new information? Yes. But what is clear and what is a constant pattern is the media decides on a moment's notice what is to their benefit to incite people about. Suddenly, we have riots once again in the streets. What happened to all the other hundreds of thousands of cases that may or may not had a racial component? Many of them did not. But how come we don't have this constant running narrative? about race. Well, we do, but we don't have this constant running narrative where the entire media is marching in lockstep. No, it is decidedly deliberate. That's what I wonder about. And I want to ask some questions to Brian Maloney, too, because, you know, he may disabuse me of this notion. I'm always open to hearing more. So to sum up my story when I started about South Dakota, what strikes me is that socialists who are trying to impose that, I mean, make no mistake, this coronavirus debacle has been an introduction to socialism / communism 101. My friend, I can never think of his name on the first thing. What's the difference between socialism and communism? Oh, about 5 years. Trevor Loudon is his name, and it always takes me a minute to pull up his name in my brain. So, the threat of individuality to socialists and communists, as we know, is they're trying to impose collectivism, collective all blanket government rule on us all. And to do that, they pretty much have to break down this extraordinary system called individual freedom and government existing at the consent of the governed to protect individual freedom, not to erase it. And that's what my greatest concern is right now. And the point that I wanted to make and make a connection to is that these unique, unusual little stores in South Dakota are extensions of unique and individual people. And it's not an accident that during coronavirus, the smallest of businesses who can't fight back and who can't be state-run box stores like Walmart and whatever, who can pipe in, even in King Soopers and in Kroger, they're piping in government indoctrination. Be safe, you know, stay safe, stay home, stay 6 feet away. But if you're an individual, independent, small business for which there's probably an easier time to stay distant, and I'm not sure I buy any of that either, then you were discriminated against. Yes, the word is discrimination. If you refuse to wear a mask, you will be discriminated against and told that you're evil and you don't care about people. So it's collectivism, collectivism, collectivism. And small businesses are the very essence of individuality, of individual resourcefulness, of intellectual curiosity, of creativity, all of those things. And that's what they're trying to put down in this country. It really does break my heart. So that's why the piece that I'm working on, we'll see how well I do, is the same shade of gray. Why socialists are threatened by individuality. It's not color and shades of beautiful green and blue and pink and mauve. It's all gray. And notice that the socialists, if you do exactly as they want you to do, don't want you to have any fun, don't want you to enjoy yourself. What we are being introduced here is no fun, no games, no sports, no camps, no school, no intellectual pursuits, no hobbies, no laughter, no enjoyment, no individuality, no choice. All of those things seem to be problematic. So we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we hope to have with us Brian Maloney. We'll be back on the Keith Hansen Show right after this.
Ever wonder how the credit card companies make their money? Well, think about this. If you owe $25,000 on five different credit cards and you make your minimum payments every month, here's what it's going to cost you. Are you sitting down? You'll shell out over $13,000 in additional interest, and it's going to take over 13 years to pay off your original $25,000 balance. That's how they make money. Now it's your turn to fight back by calling the Debt Solution Network. We'll work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. We promise we can and will reduce your debt. Call right now for a free 15-minute debt analysis.
800-593-0298. 800-593-0298. 800-593-0298. That's 800-593-0298.
The American Red Cross urgently needs blood and platelet donations and asks all healthy donors to schedule an appointment to give now. With the coronavirus outbreak, it is important to maintain a sufficient blood supply. Your blood donation is critical and can help save lives. Please schedule an appointment today. Download the Blood Donor app, visit redcrossblood.org, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS today. You can make a difference.
Attention homeowners. Do you have a house that's in need of serious repairs? Do you have tenants that never seem to make their monthly payments? How about code violations, past due taxes, or maintenance costs you just can't afford? Then call my friends right now with Quick Cash Offer. They specialize in buying any home, no matter how ugly the situation. Turn that problem property into cash right now. It's just that simple. One call and you can get rid of that home headache forever. They buy the ugliest houses with instant closings, instant cash, and huge savings. Plus, there are no realtor fees, no listing fees, and no repair costs. Just cash in your hands for that painful property. They're buying a few more houses in your neighborhood this month. So take advantage of this cash offer and call Quick Cash Offer now.
800-799-5138. 800-799-5138. That's 800-799-5138.
Welcome back to the Keith Hansen Show. I'm your happy fill-in host, Karen Cataline. And I promised you that I would give you my contact information. So if you think I'm totally cracked with what I said in the first half hour, I was starting to run out of steam there for a minute. But, you know, I have a lot of thoughts on this kind of stuff, and I'm sure you do too. I would love to hear from you. You can go to KarenCataline.com. That's spelled KarenCataline. Same name for Twitter, same name for Facebook. I've got two Facebook pages. They're all public. I don't care. But I would love to hear from you. You can also email me at Karen@KarenCataline.com. I am delighted to have with us our guest here on the Keith Hansen Show, Brian Maloney, and he is the co-founder of Media Equality Project, the creator of Stop the Scalpings, love that name, a Facebook group with over 100,000 members that might be, he's going to probably want to update that, and the publisher of Media Equalizer, a longtime radio host, political analyst, and he is often on Fox News Channel, Newsmax TV, One America News Network, love that, even CNN and the former Court TV. And welcome, Brian Maloney, to the Keith Hansen Show.
How am I going to live up to that?
Well, boy, I'll tell you, Brian, I just want to jump right in here because when I woke up this morning, because I was trying to watch a movie to, you know, take my mind off all this, and then what do I see? Riots, rioting everywhere. And I have to tell you, I called it because I was watching the moment Memorial Day was over. It seemed like somebody flipped a switch, and we pivoted from coronavirus, 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 directly do not stop, go, do not collect $200, into the old racism narrative. How do they do that? Tell me how they do that. What are you watching? And what about those paid protesters? Tell us about that too.
Well, you know, I think the bottom line here is that, you know, they control the media. We don't. And, you know, they being the establishment people, you know, billionaires, I mean, the same people control everything. They control the message. And like you said, when they decide to flick a switch, they just do it. And I think they flicked the switch here. And it's not to cut to take anything away from the brutality of that man's death, which I think we can agree was unfair. But you know, this provided the narrative that they needed to switch gears because I don't think Corona was getting them anywhere anymore. It wasn't at all. People are so sick of it. They don't want to ever hear about it again. And, they, you know, there's no more mileage to get out of it. So they switched gears. But I think there's so many different angles and aspects to look at here. I mean, no. So it turns immediately into rioting. know, I mean, you see the footage last night and the reaction of people like Ilhan Omar, which is basically to support it. I mean, she kind of gave a few words about, you know, don't resort to violence, but she didn't mean it. But overall, she's celebrating what happened. So I think we're living in really dangerous times. But the other point I want to make about this is I think some people are missing it. I think there's a lot of anger out there in America in general right now that could spill over into violence at any time. I think people are really furious with government. And so there's a broader way of looking at this. Like, I'm surprised we haven't had a lot more violence considering what they've done to us over the last 3 months.
Well, and I see and beautiful points. And, you know, we're trying to touch on so many cylinders at the same time. I sometimes get concerned that, you know, do we do the macro, do the micro? Do we do the 30,000 feet or do we do the tiny little connections? But, you know, it's all fodder and it's important for talk radio. But I think that there are some striking comparisons one can make about the differences in the set of rules that we're watching. Like, I went to several protests, one a gridlock protest in Denver, and a lot of other protests in which the left said that we were morons for protesting, for standing out. We weren't social distancing. We weren't wearing masks. And there's this entire nannyistic hatred for anybody that doesn't follow in lockstep to what the leftist our betters tell us to do. Now, I want to know, Brian Maloney, so great at media watching, did anybody talk about whether those rioters were wearing masks and keeping social distance? Were they saying they were morons for protesting? Were they saying that looting a store was not the right way to protest an injustice? No.
Well, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And when the shoe is on the other foot, all those things go out the window. And I think, you know, in a case like Colorado, what you're looking at there, why the progressive left is so angry when you're out there protesting is, you know, they have almost completely hijacked a state like Colorado. Colorado is almost entirely blue now. You know, they are just waiting for November to remove Cory Gardner from the U.S. Senate, and then they're done. Mm-hmm. The process is complete. So, you know, the Democrats are looking at taking all the Southwestern Senate seats this year that they don't already have, which would be the first in 40 years that they've had all these seats. They're just looking at finishing the conversion to blue, and then you'll never be able to protest anything again without being hauled off. They're just going to turn it into China, basically. They had their trial run. I mean, this was a trial run to see
just
how
much control they can
take.
Well, no, go ahead. Because
this is depressing, but we have a lot of hard work ahead of us. It's not to say we're doomed. It's to say there's a lot of complacency on the conservative side right now, and a lot that has to happen. A lot.
Mm. All right, so let's go into, because you and I think one of the reasons I was so excited that you were able to join us here is to be able to draw some distinctions and comparisons to this story, these two stories that completely switched gears. All the rules changed within a moment's notice, within what is in the media a blink of an eye. And then all of a sudden you just turn on a switch here and you turn off a switch there. And somehow they're not expecting people to ask questions. Well, how come there were a different set of rules last week and now there's a new set this week? And so you understand that in a fundamental way. So let's kind of move on. And when you say there's work to do to unravel this mess that we're watching, what's the first step? What is the most powerful step?
Well, and I'm not saying, you know, as a conservative, I'm not saying that Republicans are the answer to everything, because only some Republicans are still conservative. Many of them are not. But it is still critical that these seats, especially in the southwestern states, but also in other parts of the country, in the U.S. Senate, that Republicans retain them. Republicans are going to be on defense in the fall. Arizona, Colorado, there's a whole list of states. There's about five or six states that we really need to watch out for, and I have the whole list. But it is, those are the two that stand out in my mind. So we have got to accept the fact that we have a difficult election ahead. I think there'd been some complacency on our side. But, you know, the broader thing here, theme here, is that as conservatives, we're always playing defense. And we're playing defense on the news cycle, too. I mean, the news cycle switches. We're not setting the news cycle. We're not setting that tone. We're reacting to it. They control it. They choose the narrative. We respond. And that's the wrong position to be in. We've been in that position for basically forever, and we have to change that. And I'm encouraged that Trump is taking on the social media Silicon Valley monsters, because that is a step in the right direction. If we start to go after these companies, we have a chance. We have a fighting chance. But he has a short amount of time to really go after them in a fundamental way.
You know, Brian, you that's why it's so much fun to talk about the media, because I don't think people really question. I mean, we're trying to get them to question the narrative of the coronavirus. Again, you take something that is a concern and you fearmonger your way into hysteria about it when it's like a 0.002% fatality rate. And yet they've got the media and the left and the insiders have people saying that if you go out of your home without a mask, you're killing people. At the beginning, in the lockdowns, you're just killing people if you go out altogether. And they're encouraged not to ask questions. So your point about being on offense is really a critical one, because I see conservative talk show hosts. You know, the minute the media, it says on some website that there's riots, immediately they push a button too, and they start doing the whole discussion about racism, racism, racism. And so being on the offense, I don't know anybody hardly except Donald Trump himself who knows how to go on offense. How can, for example, people in left states, unfortunately, like Colorado, and you're right, it's not just the legislature, Brian, it is the judiciary in Colorado, the Supreme Court as well. So Jared Polis is being sued, and yet he's not too worried about it because there's a leftist Supreme Court as well. So how do you go on the offensive in the most effective way possible? That's my question. Let you wax philosophic about that.
and the first step is to change our own mindset, which is one of complacency, because I've been battling this for all year, but especially in the last few weeks. Oh, we've got this election. People will see how ridiculous the Democrats are. People will see how bad Biden is, and they'll see it, and they'll vote. It's like, well, no, they won't, number one. Number two, they're being bribed with all kinds of giveaways, money. The Democrats are promising people crazy amounts of money falling from the sky, and that Democrats know Biden won't be president for very long, if at all, that whoever the VP person is, that'll be the president. So they're fine. They're happy. So we have to change our own mindset is wrong. We have hard work ahead, not a summer playing golf or whatever. We have a summer of campaigning and getting candidates moving and getting, this is our last chance. This is it. If we lose everything in November, Silicon Valley will have even more control. We'll never be able to tweet anything without their approval, or post anything to social media, or do anything without Google or Amazon or Jeff Bezos or whatever saying so. That's the control they will have over us.
Yeah, and it's all really about control, isn't it? I mean, it's all about control. In the first half hour, I talked about how individualism and basically just freedom is a terrible threat to socialists and communists. They're just, it's a threat for people to think for themselves. Before we get too far down the pike, I would like you to take some time, Brian, to talk about what you're up to at Media Equalizer and what you're doing on this front. What kind of stuff are you doing right now? And tell us about your project, the Media Equalizer.
So we have the Media Equality Project. We have a group on Facebook called STS. It used to be called Stop the Scalpings, but that name kind of outlived what we were doing. So it's just STS. If you go to Facebook, just type in those three letters, STS. It's a group with 102,000 people. We've been growing again. And we're very, very active there. So we would love to have your listeners join us and get involved. But we have a lot going on. Excuse me. A little bit of a seasonal hay fever.
Allergies? Boy, if you don't let anybody take panic, your temperature. You
know. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what's so absurd. It's like, well, there's pollen in the air. You know, it's like, come on, you know. But people freak out. But so the bottom line is we stay active. We also have a pack called Red Wave America. But a lot of what I'm doing right now is trying to get, I think, Republicans, number one, to stay conservative, to stay conservative, number one, and two, be focused on the issues that really matter. I'm seeing a lot of really important issues fall by the wayside. For one thing, how about border security? You know, are you hearing about border security right now? Are you hearing about illegal immigration? You know, it's amazing how important issues are wiped off the map. I also think that Republicans need to really focus on the economy. Main Street, people are suffering out there, and Washington has no idea because they're not suffering. Nobody in Washington's getting laid off. Government is 100% fully employed at full salary all the time. Nobody gets cut there, but then they have no concept of the rest of the country.
And yet they make rules and laws on the rest of us. How about that?
Well, they do. Yeah, they do, and they have no interest in getting to know what matters to any of us because they don't care. They look down on their, you know, I've worked in Washington many years, and they look down on us, and so, you know, and they really do. There's an elitist attitude, and who wouldn't have one when you have guaranteed employment for the rest of your life, you know, which we don't have anywhere else. So you've got to think about 40, 50 million unemployed people out there, and if you're not saying, you know, if you're not providing a message that resonates with all those people, you're going to lose the election. You know, I don't want us to be in the position where we're promising, you know, everybody free handouts like the Democrats. I mean, they're promising crazy amounts of money to throw it. You know, talking about like $2,000 a month here, just free money. You know, here's $2,000 for you. You know, if you vote for us, they're trying to bribe their way
it's
to
bribery, and it's also wealth redistribution. That money is either being printed or coming out of other people's pocket, and money that they cannot afford right now because they are being told, for one thing, that they have to keep, for an example, one tiny example, their restaurants half full. The amount of dictatorial edicts being placed on law-abiding citizens is terrifying to me.
Oh, it is. It is.
There's so much going on. I think they feel like if they just throw the kitchen sink at us, we'll be so overwhelmed, we'll throw up our hands and we'll say, oh, what the hell? It's Colorado. Let's just get high. Here's a question for you, Brian Maloney, in our last couple of minutes together. As you were talking about the election, I'm wondering if the election's ever going to start. It seems as if because they have Biden, the most embarrassing candidate I've seen in decades, and that's saying something, they are benefiting by the election really not beginning. So first coronavirus, then it's race riots, and there's going to be something else until the election will be 2 days. Remember when elections were 2 years? Now they're 2 days.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Well, that is absolutely correct. You're spot on there, and that is because Biden's pollsters have correctly told him that, you know, the more invisible you are, the higher your numbers. All you have to do is just not be out there, not be campaigning, because when he does, he's an embarrassment and it's a negative. So it's just, you know, be invisible. If nobody ever hears or sees you, and we're promising people, you know, $2,000 a month or whatever, you know, free money, we can win this thing, but just stay quiet. So that's the entire strategy between now and November, because Biden makes a fool out of himself every time he opens his mouth. And I just, when you look at him and his beady little eyes and just the creepy way that he behaves, and not one word that comes out of his mouth makes any sense.
Doesn't make sense
at all. No,
have you ever seen, this is totally an aside, but have you ever seen Jeff Dunham's character, Walter? He looks like Walter.
Yeah.
He's got that look, Walter. And Walter isn't a very happy character. But Biden, on the other hand, is before our very eyes, becoming more and more senile as we see him. And isn't it interesting that they had to go full route racism when Biden himself made one of the most outrageous comments? You're not black if you don't vote for me?
Well, that's right. That's
talk about condescending.
Yeah, and that's a great way to tie it all together, because it is interesting how this happened right as he was fending that off. All of a sudden, 100% of the focus, the attention is diverted away from that, and he gets off, you know, without any damage or any real damage. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible what's going on. Manipulation is 24/7, and I think there are less and less people out there every day thinking critically than there were yesterday. And so we've got to fight for that critical thinking, the people who are still alive and thinking and not being sheep. We've got to count each other quick. Really?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. In being a political watcher in the number of years that I've been doing it, and you as well, you begin to realize when you're watching media, when you're a media watcher as you are, that there are no accidents. There are no accidents. If the entire media is marching in one direction, it's kind of like when your stockbroker says, when everybody's going left, go right. But in the media, everybody goes left. That's figuratively and literally.
I agree with your stockbroker there, by the way.
I know. Well, you know,
one.
I mean, if you're a conservative, you rarely go with the crowd. And if you're a leftist, you always do, for the most part. But the question here is, do you ever get accused, or even, because this is your business, of being kind of a black helicopter person when you look at how manipulative the media is and how few people recognize it, and they call you like some kind of conspiracy theorist for saying that the media has all marched in lockstep to put forth this narrative? All you got to do is look at, Stormy Daniels and Mueller. It was Mueller for 3.5 years, and then it was impeachment. And then it's like the media can only focus on one story at a time as long as it advances their narrative. And when it stops advancing their narrative, they pivot like they just did yesterday. So the question is black helicopters. I mean,
it's not a conspiracy to recognize that the liberal media networks all take the same talking points from the Democrats. There's nothing conspiratorial about that. We know that. We've seen that exposed. James O'Keefe has exposed that many, many times with Project Veritas. We've seen documents. I mean, there's nothing out there. I think it's actually easier to convince people of this now than it was maybe 20 or 30 years ago when they trusted the media more. I think most people do see the media as manipulating them. It's just that it's just about getting people to realize how they're being manipulated. So they don't trust the media, but they also don't necessarily recognize where they're being lied to. And that's where we can come in and say, hey, you're being lied to here, here, and here. And not only by what they say, but what they omit, and how, as you've pointed out several times today, how they change the narrative on a dime. That's part of their deception. So they're really like grifters or magicians or something, or just hucksters or whatever you want to call them, maybe all those things. But they're good at this, and we have to fight back. But I will never stop fighting back. I know that you won't, and we have people out there who know better. So America can survive this. We've just got to fight.
Well, and that's why I'm such a fan of your work, Brian Maloney. Tell everybody one more time how they can reach you, how they can watch you,
and how they can
join your Facebook page.
Sure, yeah. So Facebook, it's just STS if you do a search. And if you try to join our group, it'll ask you a couple of questions about why you wanted to join. And they should just mention that that they heard me on your show. And then the moderator, we have to do that, or infiltrators get in and start doing damage, because we are, you know, over 100,000 conservatives, and all it takes are a few nutcases to get in there and start messing things up for us. So we're pretty careful about who gets in. And so you just have to answer a couple of quick questions, and then we're thrilled to have you as part of our group.
That's great. One final question. Will you be doing any kind of a report on either this media pivot to the race issue or any? What's your your latest story that will be reporting?
Yeah. So I've been doing a lot of op-ed pieces for different publications, and I've actually been working on this tech manipulation issue where these companies are thwarting conservative voices. I had a piece in Newsweek just last week. That was my most recent. It was at Newsweek, which is weird because you think of Newsweek as being a really liberal publication, but it's got a new editor that I guess they've got a new editor that's kind of conservative, and he started running some of our stuff. And so that was the first time I've been in Newsweek, and I was kind of shocked. But I am hoping to do more for them because, that's a great place to be if we're making inroads. So, hey, sometimes we can win some of these things and get in there. But I am fighting Silicon Valley censorship, and I'm thrilled that President Trump is doing the same. He is really out there today, and the GOP, they're not doing much to back him up at all. I mean, we need to support the president in this. He's taking on Twitter and other social media networks in Silicon Valley. We've got to back him up on this.
Well, and he hasn't gotten a lot of backing from the Republican Party already, for 3.5 years. And that has been a deep and profound disappointment. And that's why the people who brought him to the dance, that's you and me, the grassroots, the people out in Realville, as Rush Limbaugh says, are the people who need to stand up for him and back him, because the media censorship has gotten worse and worse in an election year. It's more blatant than ever before. So thank you, Brian Maloney from Media Equalizer. And it's always great to talk to you. Thank you for your great work. And don't ever give up. I know you won't.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Keith Hansen Show. My pleasure. Well, that about does it. I have a couple of final thoughts for you. It's always wonderful to fill in here on the Keith Hansen Show. Real quickly, if you want to get hold of Keith, you can do so. Email him at keithontheair@gmail.com. That's keithontheair@gmail.com. And in these times of just the most mind-boggling things, I don't know if your parents are alive, that's beautiful. Mine are not. And if they ever saw what is going on in these United States of America, I'm not sure that they would think that it's even believable. So we can turn this around, but I think it is very, very important to get our obstinate say no voice on, as people, Keith Hansen listeners, are, or they wouldn't be listening, I don't think. And that is to question everything. Question me, question everything. And if people tell you you're not allowed to question, you're not allowed to disagree. It's so funny. I'm reminded of the Hillary Clinton thing. You're always not allowed to disagree if it's her. It's just so preposterous. So, just keep asking questions. Anyway, thank you to Keith Hansen for allowing me to sit in. It was a very quick hour. Thanks to my producer, Doug, for assisting me. And keep the rubber side down. Keith Hansen will be back with you tomorrow.